check. Check. Just pull the piano down just slightly. Not too much, just a little bit. And the monitor. Are you in the monitor? Yeah, that's better. Just a little more, not too much more. That's good. What?
Test 1, 2. Test 2, 3. We're live, but we're early too. Is it underneath there? Underneath. You want to test the mic?
Yes.
Test 1, 2, test. Okay. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 5, 6, 7, 8. Test 9, 10, 11, 12. Test 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Test 2, 3. It's a little boomy there. Test 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Test 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Test 1, 2, buckle my shoe. Test 3, 4, shut the door.
How is that in the monitor?
It's a little soft in the monitor. Test 1, 2, it could be just a hair louder in the monitor. That's better. Test 1, 2, that's a little better. Yeah, that's better right there. Yeah, oh, it's a little bit too much. Too much now. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Watch your little man. Yeah. Yeah, except, test 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 2, you think you're going to get a little bit of boomy out there. Yeah. You want me to come down there again? Test 1, 2, 3.
Downstairs, and I don't know how often they get washed, but
hey, Dawn, is this the sheet? Is this the
yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
last week's. If you'll just pull the one I have on my heart to do is Pitru Lee. So, Pitru Lee. If you'll just put that on top of, on the first thing of the stack, that's from last week. About 5 minutes, do you want to pray?
Sure.
In the back?
You can turn some music back on, Carol.
Trampled on the ground.
is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Oh, there he is. There's Deborah. Shabbat Shalom. You made it. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here today, folks. We're glad everybody's in the here with us today. Welcome. And we're going to begin our service. And I want to welcome folks online, live streaming. God bless you today. Welcome. We're glad you're here with us. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee. And we are also for Zion's Sake Ministries. Piano's a little loud there on me. Or my voice is soft, one or the other. But I think it's the piano.
Pull the piano down.
Yeah. So we're going to get started. Are you ready to worship the Lord? Anybody here to worship God?
Amen.
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 All right. I know you didn't come here to check out my new tie.
Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Oh, Yom Zeh Yisrael,
Yom Zeh Yisrael,
Yom Zeh Yisrael. Lord, a seven of his remnants. This day for Israel, filled with glad and joy. A Sabbath of his rest, a Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Let's bless the Messiah, Yeshua, this morning. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Natan Lanu Yeshua B'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. On the Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nei oh B'nei, B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael, Od Hili Olam. V'shamru B'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asah Adonai, asah Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi'i shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations
as an everlasting covenant.
It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever.
For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth,
and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
I mean,
pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem,
Shalom Aleichem.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace not old, for God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the serenity of our God, we pray for Jerusalem,
Shalom Aleichem.
Peace of Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, this week, as I've seen on Facebook, that the biggest issue for Messianic believers and for Christians is Aliyah. And that is the right to go home, to go back to Israel, the homeland of the people of the book, the people of the name. We are the people of the name. If you belong to Yeshua, that's his name is the name. So you are. We are the people of the name. Everybody say that. I am one of the people of the name. And so, as a Jew, I have a birthright. I have a birthright that I was given at birth to go to Israel and have citizenship. And that birthright legally was taken away from me when I became a believer in the Messiah. By law, man's law, not God's law. That law was that was taken away from every Messianic Jew. But you can be a Buddhist in Israel. You can worship crystals in New Age and be a Jew in Israel and be a citizen. You can be a Buddhist and be a citizen in Israel and Jewish. You can be a Jewish Hindu and be a citizen of Israel. You can believe in false messiahs like Bar Kokhba and Shabbatai Svi. And Rabbi Schneerson, and you can live in Israel and have citizenship. But if you believe in the Jew from Nazareth, and Yeshua, you can't. You're denied. Many are denied citizenship. The majority are denied citizenship. And so, Lord, I pray that you would tear down every wall, that you would tear down you, God, who parted the Red Sea, God who raised the Messiah from the dead, Yeshua. Our Savior, the Nazarene, the son of Jesse, the son of man, you who raised him from the dead, Lord, that you would break down that wall that's keeping your people, your sons and daughters out of the land that's prohibiting us. And I pray that you open the eyes of Christians and Messianic Jews to see
that there's powers and forces of darkness in the government and man, and to stop looking at the earthly powers and to look to God, and that the things that that God's ways are not our ways, and that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and the people that you think are the best people to be the politicians in Israel may not be the ones God wants in order for his end time plan to be unfolded. So I encourage people to think out of the box. I pray that you would think out of the box, Christians and Messianic Jews, and that the people that are in government right now don't want you there. They don't want you. Okay? Yeah, they're good for power, for defense. They're good for protecting the state, military, and all that good stuff, you know? But Israel will only come to the Lord in brokenness and crushing. Crushing and brokenness and defeat is the only way that's going to bring our people to their knees. To cry out, as in Matthew 23, for the bridegroom. To cry out for him and say, Jerusalem, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Until Israel and Jerusalem calls out for their bridegroom, till they recognize their Messiah and call for him and see him, then nobody's going to see him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he says in Revelation 1:7, every eye will see when he comes back. But he says to Jerusalem, you will not see me unless you call your bridegroom. So they have to call, and we have to work and pray for them to call for the bridegroom so that we can all see him come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We pray for their salvation. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of that you remove the scales from their eyes. We pray that your man gets elected in Israel, Lord, as prime minister, not our man. Not the guy that we think should be the prime minister, Lord, but that your man or woman gets elected, and we pray, Lord, also for our brothers, our Jewish friends and family in the diaspora, in the exile. We pray that you remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, and that you remove the worldliness from them. And I know there's only going to be a remnant of us, Lord, of your people. Even of the church, there's only going to be a remnant. But Lord, I just pray that you would build that remnant now and remove the scales from our eyes. Help us to see like we've never seen before with spiritual eyes. Help us to know. Help us to learn. Help us not to accept canned doctrines and just believe what we're taught from the pulpit, but to test it and to pray and to study to show ourselves approved. And I pray for our families and salvation. In the name of Yeshua, give our leaders boldness to preach the prophetic spirit. Give our executive leaders, remove the spirit of Shebna and bring in the spirit of Eliakim, of righteousness and humility and fatherliness, fatherhood. Give us a spirit of fatherhood in our executive leadership, Lord. I pray in Yeshua's name. Bless our guest today, Lord. Anoint him. When he comes to minister, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Lord says.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
As my friend Pastor Ronnie would say, amen, Brother Joe. Amen.
Be gracious,
oh Lord our God, to your people, Israel, and accept their prayer. Restore the worship of Israel to your sanctuary.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha b'shinatam levanecha b'dibarta b'am b'shivtecha b'vetecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech ובשח בך ובקומך וקשרתם על ידך והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay. My son Isaac, can you carry the Torah? Is there someone who can cover for you? William, would you come and help Isaac carry the Torah today? To that is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai V'Ein Kamasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim U'Memsheltecha B'Chol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Li'Olam Ba'ed Adonai Oz Li'Amo Yitain Adonai Yivarech Et Amo Ba'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. And there is nothing like your kings.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns.
The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his people.
The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen.
Shabbat Shalom. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to
Ben so haron by Omer Moshe. Kuma Adonai viyafutsu oivecha. Vianusu misanecha mipanecha. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. Ki mitzion teitze Torah. Udevar Adonai miYerushalayim. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah. Le'amo Yisrael b'kedushato. When the ark would travel,
Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen.
Please be seated. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch Adonai Hamavorach.
Baruch Adonai Hamrech Lilam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamrech Lilam Va'ed.
Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher Bachar Miko Adami. Ne'atan Lanu Et Torto. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten Ma Torah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Okay, today's Torah portion is Kitavo, and it means that when you come, and it comes, this Torah portion is from Deuteronomy chapter 26 through chapter 29, verse 8. You see, the Torah is the foundation upon that the whole scriptures, the whole Bible, the Tanakh, however you express it, is based upon. The first five books are the foundation of the rest of the scriptures. And when I address Torah, I'm talking about all of the scriptures, not just the first five, because the Torah means it is the mark or it is the target. And the Yeshua, or Jesus, some of you may know, but Yeshua is his name in Hebrew. That is, he is the target that the arrow is pointed toward. You see, nothing in God's word has passed away. Nothing has been dismissed, and nothing will be abolished. You see, when you read God's word, it is the Heavenly Father speaking to each of us. That's his way of either verbally speaking to you or speaking to you through his words. You see, today he is instructing Moses that the Israelites, he wants them to get more out of life. He brought Israel from Egypt by a strong hand and a stretched out arm. And he did that through great signs and wonders as they wandered through the wilderness. And a lot of people would say, well, why didn't he just take them straight to the promised land? They had to go through a training period, just like if you were in service, you go through a training period to learn how to do things. So they had to learn from God how he wanted certain things done. And of course, during the way, they complained a lot and they had some failures. That's the way life is. We're not all perfect. You see, God wanted the Israelites, as he does us today, he wants you to be a glad people, to rejoice with singing and dancing and having a joyous celebration. As I've taught previously, all of the times that we have in that we take up for the that we fast, those fasts in the end times will be feasts rather than fast times of fasting and looking at the sad side of life. It's good. God calls us to be, those fasts will be a time of great rejoicing and celebration. So God is turning our sorrow into joy. So that's what, and the promised land was the culmination of that journey. And he instructs them when they come into the land, all the miracles ceased when they entered into the promised land. No more manna, no more water out of the rock. They had to toil the land. They had to work the land. And so God says, when you work the land, your first offering will be the first fruits offering. What's unusual about the first fruits offering, all could be involved in it And it sort of embraces all of the instructions, the mitzvahs that God has gotten into the into his scriptures this morning. The mitzvah of the first fruits is the one that is offered up unto God. You see, Israel had went into the land of milk and honey, and he instructed them to bring the first fruits, which are the seven species that inhabited Israel at that time, that would be observed in the land of Israel. You see, the offering was to be lifted up to Adonai, and as you lift the offering up and praise him, his blessings would flow down from heaven to them. And it was set before the Heavenly Father. And they were to rejoice in the fact that they had cultivated the land and they were reaping the rewards from their hands of worship and that they had worked into the land. Each person had to give. Even strangers that were in the land of Israel were required to bring a first fruits offering. And that was the only time that they would do it, when they came into the land. But prior to that, God provided the food and nourishment for them. And God says, if you hearken to my voice and obey my instructions, I will set you on a high above all other nations on the earth. And everything that you touch will be blessed. Your cities, your fields, the wombs of the ladies, the very ground that you walk on will all be blessed by Heavenly Father. And so the first offering was brought when the temple was in existence. It was taken to an area that was really considered forbidden. It was an area that most of the common people were not allowed to worship in or to bring. But God says, bring that first fruits offering into the hall and to where the altar is. And there you will place it in a basket, and all could do that. You see, the source, the mitzvahs that God has struck us today are the within the Torah, the sources of all God's blessings to God. We are nothing without Heavenly Father. Abundant life is not all in salvation, the Holy Spirit of being obedient, but it's in a person is in Messiah. That is where the blessing is. To be in the Messiah means you're also in the Torah. You lose your identity because you assume his identity because he lives within you. And so just to close the Torah portion this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And it tells us that every spiritual blessing is for believers in Yeshua. So that's the Torah portion for this morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Torah, Asher, Sam, Moshe, Leif, Bay, B'nai, Israel, all be all deny, be Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Of life to all those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Just a few announcements, and we'll continue with our service. And we've got our guest speaker today, Maurice Sklar. And how many of you were here last night for the concert? Hallelujah. Wasn't it awesome? It was beautiful. We just absolutely loved it. Thank you. And I know it went out into the world because people were you know, Facebooking, and I had lots of comments. You know, it was just gorgeous, beautiful, just anointed. So thank you very much for ministering. We really appreciate you coming. So we're looking forward to more, and we are going to be going down to the Carter Fold and this afternoon. Actually, it starts at 7 o'clock, so you're welcome to come down there, and Maurice will be playing at the intermission. So just want to let you know about that in case if you'd like to come. You're welcome to. And then he's also going to be at First Presbyterian tomorrow at 10, let's see, it's 11 o'clock service, I believe, and then 4 o'clock concert. So don't forget to come on out and partake in that, all those things, those activities this weekend. did we get brochures? Did we get bulletins handed out? Because I don't see. Did everybody get? All right, let's hand out the bulletins, and then I want to make sure that everybody gets a schedule of the fall feasts and Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of God's appointed times for the year. It starts in the seventh month of the biblical calendar, and on the first day of the seventh month is Tishrei 1, and we have the Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. So it's a very prophetic season, lots that God has to say to us, and if we're willing to come and to listen and to be in his presence during this time, I believe he's got something very special, not only for you personally, but for us as a whole in guidance and in prophetic ministry. So please ask the Lord whether you know, talk to him about his calendar here, because this is his appointments, not ours. He said, this is my calendar, so let's be in the house of the Lord, okay? The schedule's here. Our first service is Sunday, September 29th. That's next weekend, 6:30. And then you'll see the Yom Kippur services and Sukkot services. We got a lot lined out, a lot of good things, and we hope you'll join us. And in case if you need a calendar, we've got them here. They're $18. It's the regular calendar that we all use, you know, January through December, but it's got the biblical calendar right along with it. So if you need to know when God's appointments are, they're right here in this calendar. And you can, there's scripture verses, and this particular calendar has got, is from Israel, actually, and it's got these beautiful, beautiful pictures in here from an artist. I don't know the artist's name, but they're just wonderful calendars. So if you want something from Israel and you want to keep up with those scriptures and all that's going on the biblical calendar, please pick those up. Let's see, is there anything else? We will not be having Oneg today since we have the extra activity at the Carter Fold this evening. So just to let you know, we'll need to arrange if people need to eat or whatever, we can go out and grab something. So other than that, get rested up because it's going to be a wonderful evening. All right? Right. I said that before. So I think we've got some visitors here today. If this is your first time with us, would you raise your hand? We have a few? Yeah. Awesome. Do you mind introducing yourself? Welcome. That's awesome. Hi, Debbie. It's great to have you. Thank you. And behind you? In the back? Wendy. All right. Well, that's awesome. We're so glad to have you back with us. And praise the Lord. So I'm going to continue. We're going to continue with the service. We'll have a little worship. And then Maurice is going to come to us after our brief music worship. There's a lot of worship in Messianic Synagogue. You get a double portion. You get a double portion of the Word, and you get a double portion of the worship, opportunity to worship God. So, you know, he says to set this day apart for him. Amen? And so we just relax and enjoy the day with the Lord. And we don't set a time limit on his time with us. So not that we try to keep you all day, but we do want to make sure that our day is completely focused on him. Amen? Hallelujah. So with that said, we'll turn it back over to you, Rabbi.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. We're glad you're here with us. I want to welcome our visitors. There's my friend Joan. Nice to see you, Joan. How are you?
You mean Jenny. Jenny.
Jenny. Is that Jenny?
Jenny.
Oh my gosh. Well, I got the J right, didn't I? You know. How you doing? It's been a long time. And my eyesight's gotten worse. But anyway, glad you're here. Praise the Lord. And my name is Paul. Anyway, just kidding. So, there once was a man from... I want to welcome everybody online. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. And we have a special guest speaker today. Maurice Sklar is going to bring a message from the Word for us today. And, you know, I'll introduce him when the time comes. But for now, I just want to mention a couple things. Don mentioned the fall feast. I just want to point out, these are not the feasts of the Jews. These are not the feasts of Israel. These are the feasts of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Lord? Well, yes, but what did they say when Peter said to him, he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. And then when Peter was, you know, he had denied him. What was that joke somebody said about denying him?
I can't remember.
Anyway, when Peter denied him and Yeshua, Jesus came to forgive him, he said, Lord, you know I love you. Lord, you know I love you. And so Yeshua is Lord. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Yeshua is Lord. Yeshua is his, that's the name his mother called him. So when they say these are the feasts of the Lord, these are the feasts of Yeshua. He was crucified on Passover. He was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. His spirit was poured out on the day that Christians call Pentecost, which was an ancient feast of Moses called the Feast of Shavuot or Weeks. There's three fall feasts that remain that have yet to be fulfilled that have to do with holiness and judgment and the coming of the bridegroom, and they have yet to be fulfilled. And so the feasts of Yeshua, these are the feasts of Yeshua, and these are God's appointed times. Another word for appointed time is appointment. So if you don't know about God's feasts, or if you haven't experienced them with a Jewish teacher, you can't. It's like, you know, I wouldn't go, God bless the Mormons, but I wouldn't go to learn about Easter from the Mormons. You know what I'm saying? If I wanted to learn about Easter, I'd go to a Christian church. You know, if I wanted to learn about, you know, Memorial Day or Veterans Day, I'd go to a gathering of veterans, you know, of a breakfast or something, you know, where veterans gather. You know, I used to go to my father's war reunions. If I want to learn about soldiers and military, go hang out with soldiers. You know, go down to the American Legion, talk to the soldiers. Okay, seriously. I mean, if you want to learn about medicine, hang out with some doctors or some nurses. Amen. And if you want to learn Jewish things, hang out with Jews. Amen? Amen? If you want to learn Jewish things and things from the Jewish Bible, go to a place where the Jews are. That's what, isn't that, James said that in Acts 15. He said, for Moses is preached in every city, in every synagogue, in every city. And, you know, you can go to the... He said to the Gentiles, he said, if you want more, if you want Moses, go to the synagogue. That's where you'll find out. Amen? It's right there in Acts 15. So anyway, come, join us for the feasts and experience it from a guy who did it since he was My gosh, I remember doing it since I was 5. But anyway, you mentioned calendars?
I did.
Okay. Well, then I don't have much else to say. I'm sorry.
I took all your thunder.
I'm going to keep it short. All right.
I took all his thunder.
Took all my thunder. I'm not supposed to advertise this, but Maurice is scheduled to... this was really cool. You know, the Sklars called me, and they called me from California, and they said, when we come, we want to go to the Carter Fold. And I said, you want to go to the Carter Fold? How do you even know what the Carter Fold is? It was Mrs. Sklar, yes. It was the lovely Mrs. Sklar. And she said, we want to go to the Carter Fold. And I said, okay. And she said, not only that, we'd like for Maurice to play at the Carter Fold. I'm not supposed to advertise this, but I figure on the day of, and since we're not really advertising, I'm just sharing it in service. So I made a couple calls. I happened to preach in the Carter Family Church about 3 or 4 years ago, and they actually have a family church, and you won't see it when you drive to Hilton's because it's about 1/4 mile up in the woods. It's up a hill, and you'll just see a little sign that says Mount Vernon United Methodist Church on the side of the road. Very unassuming. It's a beautiful Methodist church way up on the hill, and that's behind that church is where A.P. Carter and Sarah Carter are buried, and that's where all this rigmarole that's going on downtown began. That's where it started, back there in the hills and hollers of Hilton's and Macy Springs. And then I stopped the car. I was with my friend Fred the other day. Went up to Natural Tunnel State Park, and Fred said, I want to go see where the Carter Fold is. He's from up there. He's from the Kingsport area. And he said, I want to see where the Carter Fold is so I know how to get there. So I said, would you like to see where they lived? So we stopped by the side of the road, and there was this house sitting back about 300 yards. I said, that's June Carter's house and Maybelle Carter's house. And I pointed it out to them. How do I know this? Because they gave me a tour when I preached. They gave me, A.P. Carter's granddaughter, Flo, gave me a personal tour, and my wife and kids, of all of the family, you know, land and the homes and the graveyard and everything. It was really neat, and they gave us a personal tour, and I said, see that house with the blue trim and the white that's sitting by the side of the road? That's A.P. Carter's house, and his grandson, or his great-grandson lives in there right now. And we stopped to take pictures, and a big old St. Bernard came barking at us, and we got back in the van pretty quick. But anyway, so Fred and I had a good time. But Maurice was, it took me about 15 minutes, which had to be God, because about 15 minutes to get Maurice permission to play on the stage of the Carter Fold during the intermission. He's going to play tonight, during the intermission. And so if anybody wants to join us up there, several of us are going up there, and you're welcome to come to the Carter Fold tonight and hear him. And hear him play I don't know what he's going to play, but anyway. All right, we're going to take our offering, our tithes and offerings for today, so let's bow our heads. He's going to play the violin. Yeah. Or fiddle. What is the difference between a violin and a fiddle? Well, you set yourself... It's how you play it. Okay. Well, the difference between a violin and a fiddle, for all you folks that were wondering, and I always wondered, is how you play it. Okay? It's a folk style. All right. Would it be sacrilege to play fiddle on a Stradivarius? No, it wouldn't be sacrilege to play fiddle on a Stradivarius. Okay. With that said, we're going to receive our tithes and offering for the morning. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just thank you, Lord, for the giver, and we thank you for the gift, Lord, and we just pray that you multiply these gifts 100-fold in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. We just ask that you bless the people as they give. We always encourage visitors to tithe to your home congregation, but if you wish to make a gift to this congregation, you can make a check out to For Zion's Sake Ministries or pay any way you like. And folks online, too, you can give securely on PayPal. And if you'd like to be receipted, if you're online, just give us your address and phone number so we can, you know, contact you and get you a receipt. God bless you as you give. We also have a little basket there. It's our spare change offering that we use to take care of the needs of people who come to us for electric bills and rent and food and whatever they need, clothing. So if you have some spare change in your pocket and you want to put it, there's a basket there, and the big box is the offering box. And so God bless you as you give today.
Shine. of the piper, the voice of the bard, the voice of the joy, the voice of the gladness, the voice of the breaker, the voice of the bride. O ti shamba pe are yuda, ube hutso yerushalayim. O ti shamba pe are yuda, ube hutso yerushalayim. Again shall be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Again shall be heard in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem.
You know, we were in Israel years ago, and you know, here's the difference: how easy it is to mistake what is real for what is not real, and how easy it is to be fooled. We went to a place called Jaffa, and you might see it as Joppa in your Bible, where Peter was on the roof and he had the vision. It's also where Jonah, if you read in the book of 2 Jonah, if you read in the book of Jonah, and it's where Jonah took the ship to flee from God. He was running from God. He took it from Jaffa. Or as your Bible might say, Joppa. And anyway, so Jaffa today is it's a beautiful little old city next to Tel Aviv. It's actually like an extension of Tel Aviv now. And it's a very ancient city. It's one of the most ancient ports in the world, still operating ports in the world, in the Mediterranean. And it's so pretty that all these brides and grooms go there to have their pictures taken. And so when you go there, you hear these words from the Bible, again shall be heard in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, you think, and you go to Jaffa, you think that's the prophecy being fulfilled. But it isn't. Because Jaffa, that's not the cities of Judah. It's not, you know, it's in Israel, but it isn't, it's not the spot. And those people aren't there for the spiritual reasons. They're there for the physical outward beauty of the place. But when you go to Jerusalem and you see a wedding, and you will see weddings when you go to Jerusalem, you'll see, if you go to the old city, you'll see people getting married, and you'll see the bride, and you'll see the groom, and then you'll see the prophecy coming to pass. But people can be deceived so easily by just being, you know, 50 miles away can fool you. And you know, place, not just the word, but, you know, we have five senses. We smell, we taste, we hear, we see, we feel. And geographical location is important. It's a part of it, you know. And we have to take all these things into consideration when we study the word. So, all right, let's continue with our worship.
You, O Lord, are my refuge and strength, a strong fortress I can run to. You,
let's just give thanks to the Lord today for what He's given to us and what He's done for us. Just call upon His name and He will come to you. Seek Him and He will give you strength. And He will give you things you've never even thought of. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name.
If you're at home and you'd like to join us, if you have some matzah or crackers, some bread, and you'd like to, some fruit of the vine, you'd like to join us, get yourself ready, and we're going to make our way to the Lord's table. So let's prepare our hearts. If I always say keep a short list with God, so if you have any sin in your life that you need to confess, this is a good time to do it. And as we prepare to go to the Lord's table, hallelujah. Thank you. Marilyn, would you like to come and serve today? Come, we'll have somebody come and help you. Diane, would you come? Would you help Marilyn? Show her what? Show her the ropes. Hallelujah. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Hagafen Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the Messiah, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. It was Passover night, Luke tells us in chapter 22, that Yeshua took the third cup, cup that every religious Jew takes at the Passover meal after the supper, and it's called the cup of redemption. And Yeshua took this cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." He then took the afikomen, which is the bread that's broken and also taken after the meal. It's the matzah taken at every Passover meal. It's called afikomen, and it means that which comes later. It means that which comes later in Greek, afikomen. And so he took the afikomen, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. So as we come to the Lord's table, we remember what he did for us. We come to his table, and we remember that he died for our sins, that he was lifted up. Yeshua said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." He was lifted up onto a cross that the Romans built, and he was nailed to the cross. And on that cross, after being beaten, spit on, receiving, was it 40 lashes? 40. I think it was 40 lashes. After receiving so many lashes and spending a night in the cold, thirst, without food, without sleep, he was brought to the cross. And then he gave up the ghost and he was buried 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead on the third day. And then he conquered the power of sin and death. And whoever believes in him will have everlasting life and forgiveness of sin. Amen. And death will have no power over you when you put your trust in Yeshua, in Jesus. So let's bow our heads for a moment. If there's anybody that doesn't know Yeshua here today, if you'd like to meet him, just close our eyes and bow our heads. Just raise your hand. If you'd like to meet Yeshua today, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know Yeshua, if you'd like to meet him, just raise your hand and I'll pray. And if you're at home and you're watching, you can do it too. It doesn't matter if you're in your car, if you're in your living room, or if you're lying in bed. Just raise your hand where you are and we'll pray. Okay? Just follow us. Pray what I pray, but it's not so much the words as what's in your heart. Dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua, Jesus, to die because I blew it. I've made mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've broken your laws. And I need your cleansing blood to wash me and make me whole. So come into my heart. Come into my life. I surrender my life to you this day. Put my name in your book of life and forgive me in Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time and you meant it and God touched you, please contact me. You can email me or call me, and or come to me if you're here, And I have a gift for you. So just come and reach out to me and let me know that you prayed that prayer. And God bless you. As the ladies serve you, come as you're ready, okay?
Oh, Praise the Lord. We had a magnificent concert last night by our friend Maurice Sklar. And Maurice, you may want to do that from the back, Isaac, because he may want to move around. So, just a suggestion. Maurice, Devorah called me about a month or so ago, maybe more, maybe six weeks ago, his wife, and said that they wanted to come and play and minister here. And not so much because they wanted to come to Tennessee, and not so much, maybe you know, that was part of it, but they have some family here. But she said that she had a burden for me because I have been fighting leukemia for going on 9 years now. And she wanted, they wanted to minister to me and see me. That's what she told me. Well, she's part of me. Praise the Lord. Amen. And Dawn too. She's better to look at than me. She's easier on the eyes. Praise the Lord. And Dawn too. Amen. So we arranged for them to come, and I want to thank the folks at First Presbyterian who helped their helped me to bring them from California. And they're going to do a full concert. Maurice is going to do a concert at 4 p.m. tomorrow at First Presbyterian in Bristol. He did a concert here last night. And you can watch that concert. If you go to our website, it's on all our literature here. It's archived. The concert is archived. You can watch it, last night's concert, and you can go and see it. Or if you friend me on Facebook, I don't want to say it in public online what my page is, but if you're friends with anybody who's friends with me, and I'm friends with a lot of people, you can have access to my page. You just have to be friends with one of my friends. So anyway, I'm friends with Sharon Phillippe. So if you friend Sharon Phillippe sitting right there, you'll be able to see what's on my page. How's that? Anyway, so the concert was there, but Maurice is he's a man of God who has traveled the world, and as he said, God opened doors for him back in 1991 about, and doors began to open, and he began to chase God through those doors, and God's taken him around the world. He ministers for, he's traveled the world with Governor Mike Huckabee, and played before large audiences with him, and ambassadors and members of parliament and Knesset and world leaders and all sorts. You know, he's been around the world, and he's played with symphony orchestras. He's worked with the London Philharmonic, and he's worked with music director at Oral Roberts University, artist in residence, and he'll straighten me out. He'll correct me, but what my point is in telling you this is that he's a seasoned man of God. Amen. That's my point. He's a seasoned man of God. And the man of God said he had a word for you today. So we don't always, you know, it's not every man of God is a seasoned man of God. Amen. Not every person who's in a pulpit is seasoned. Not every person who speaks the word has experienced the things that Maurice has experienced. And so it's a privilege, it's a blessing from God to have him come today and share from the treasure trove of experiences that he has seen in his life and he's lived through, and trials, some of it painful, some moments of glory. Amen. But he has a word for you. He also has some CDs he's going to tell you about. His music is brilliant, and But he's not. He said he wanted to speak today, so he's going to. I'm going to turn it over to him right now. Maurice, would you come?
Hallelujah. I flipped the switch. Shalom. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. What a beautiful service and the worship. And sometimes I wonder, well, should I jump up and join in? And I almost did about 8 times, but I wasn't sure. You know, I hope that because I didn't know what the timing was and I didn't want to disrupt anything, but we'll do it next time. But I really believe in relationship. I believe in doing things based on being led of the Lord. And had I marketed myself commercially, or you know, if God allowed me to do that, I could maybe be in bigger places all the time, but I actually am glad that I'm not, because I'm free to go where God wants me to, and he loves to do big things in little places, and I believe today will be no different. It is a little bit late. I don't know. I just want to, is it all right if we have time today? I mean, we're supposed to worship and rest all day today, so you don't have any obligations. It's Shabbat, so. And some have driven from a long way, but the Lord says, I just want you to share this morning. I said, oh, okay, so that's why I just waited on the Lord. I tell you, if we'll just not plan everything, you'll be amazed what God can do. One time I was, I used to be sort of, oh, what am I going to teach about? What am I going to, and I had everything. And I believe in preparation, I believe in study. And I am called to minister, not just to perform. I'm called to do both. But when I do that, I had it all planned out. And this has happened so many times. And God says, well, that's nice. Just give me your mouth. I want to talk to the people. And he said, do you think the apostles went around, with notes, 3 points and 7 ways and I can teach. I love the teaching ministry. I came up during a time in the church time in the 80s when the teaching ministry was really restored to the body in a major way. So I believe in great teaching, and I've sat under a lot of Bible teaching. But what we really need is we need the living word to be fed to us. We need to let the Holy Spirit, who is my best friend. Did you know the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is my best friend? But he's such a gentleman, he just won't interrupt you. And sometimes I think he's standing by, in a lot of church services, they're just doing their own thing. And one time I was so tired, it was after a big meeting, and I was so tired Sunday morning, And this pastor came up to me and wanted me to, come and play or something. And I woke up, I was absolutely exhausted. And I said, God, do I have to go? I was so tired. And then they probably, I don't know if they'll get to me or not, or who knows. And I heard, it sounded almost out loud to me. It was so clear. The Lord, the Holy Spirit says, well, they don't need me. I'm not going. Why should you go? I said, oh, no. They've got it all. They don't need him. That's scary. How in the world can we have, get together in Yeshua's name and not know the one that brings the Word of God to life? And to not really let him. See, you have to yield to him. He is it's a dove. He's not a bulldog. You're right, I do like to. And I like your Holy Gold's Gym step there. I've never seen one of those in the sanctuary before. Yeah, I was just thinking, well, maybe I just, you know. You want me to stay up there? All right. Well, my wonderful wife is here, Devorah, and she helps me keep on track, and I think it's for the hello also out there in internet land. Praise God. Well, let me just let God lead you. That's what I wanted to say. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, who even though I did not know her, I ministered for a man for many years that was close to her and was influenced by her. She said one time, she said, God is not asking for, you know, golden vessels. He's not asking for silver vessels. He is asking for yielded vessels. She was very dramatic. And we have to learn how to yield to God. And that means most of the time, you know, don't put on a show. Just let God do what he would like to do through you. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a service. I'm a good Jewish boy. I like it. But you know, when we get to where we depend on our own abilities, we're not yielding anymore. God gave me two amazing gifts, and they don't seem like gifts at all. And what they were was, first of all, he gave me the gift of desperation. Desperation's a great motivator, you know. I had to have God. Can we take that echo out, please? Yes. I had to have God to keep my mind. I fought for my mind for most of my adult life. Not only my mind in the sense of, you know, depression, and I couldn't depend on my emotions at all. And I had to break through every day. I was desperate. I was needy. I had to have God. If God didn't come through to me, for me, I'd be, you know, off the side of a bridge, or I would be in an institution or something like that. I'm serious. When I had to fight for my, and God showed me his word is sufficient. His grace is sufficient to pull you out of your own. That's the book of Psalms is all filled with that. David's crying out to God, you know. He's low, he's high, but he always praises the Lord. And he doesn't stay in that place very long. Next, you know, he says, help God, help. And then the next verse, the next psalm is, you know, the Lord's my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, in him I trust. But I've learned something, that if we yield, if you abandon yourself to him like a little child, all the time, then the supernatural will flow through your life all the time. And it stops being a religion, because God isn't a mind. We've been taught to control everything with our minds. This is all free, by the way, hot off the press. I yielded to the Holy Spirit right now because he wanted to say something. And you know, there's a lot of religion. And Christian religion will never transform you. Messianic Jewish religion won't transform you. Systems of we get used to, we're creatures of habit. We get used to doing something the same way every time. And so it just gets by rote after a while. And the Lord will come in and he'll stir you up and say, hello, I'm here, I'm a person. I'm right here and I love you and I'd like to manifest myself. You see, what was so amazing about Yeshua was that he manifested God's presence. He says his word was with authority. Not just authority in the sense of, you know, like a military authority, but it was full of the Zoe life of God, the substance of life. and that more abundantly. I came to give you Zoe, life, and that more abundantly. And that's not just a ticket to heaven, if you sign the card here and you know. It's not just an assurance, which it is assurance. We have a wonderful future. But it's living the God kind of life right now. It's letting Yeshua, who lives in you, come out. Will you please let him out? I would like to see him in you. You don't need to see me. You don't need to see me. You need to see him in me. And that's what the glory of God is about. That's why we have such a fight, the enemy. Our enemy fights us in the realm of religious formality and systems. He fights us all the time to keep us from, to try to block this wonderful transforming glory. Do you know how you change in the New Testament? Have you ever tried to change yourself? I have. And I tell you what, I haven't fundamentally changed myself. I can't do it. Take it from a Jewish boy. We've tried to earn it for 4,000 years. We can't do it. God has to come. How do we change in the new covenant, better covenant? Well, first of all, he's changed us on the inside already. We're different. I'm born again. I've come from death to life. God is living in these temples now. I'll stay here so I don't distract. You're right, I do like to walk around.
Handheld will get louder without the feedback.
I'm fine. I'm going to be a good boy and stand here. I'll try. But so we're so used to living in our minds and being in control. I've got my plan and I'm going to work the plan. We're Western analytical mind people. So we don't really know much about, if you go over to India and they go, I'm very, very spiritual. And, they sit and look at their belly button or whatever they do. But they have developed their spirit, their inside of them. But we have a born again spirit. God is in there. We're not worshiping some false gods. We're not. Yeah. God wants. Will you please let Jesus out? He wants to manifest himself. What happens when God manifests himself? The supernatural. Healing, deliverance. The only person that's really on the earth right now of God is the Holy Spirit. God the Father is in heaven. God the Son is seated. Now, that doesn't mean there's one God. We say it three times a day in the Orthodox Jewish world, yes. But water is one thing, too. But it exists in three different forms. And as far as God dealing with man, he's in God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. But one. But the only person of God on the earth is the Holy Spirit working. But we know so little about him. And he is such a gentleman, he's always exalting Jesus. But you ever wonder what it was in the old saints that, they had a halo around, they would paint, in the frescoes and the whatever, they had that, those, Jesus, whenever they put, he had this, circle of light around, and the disciples, what is that? They were trying to show the light that was coming out of them from the Holy Spirit. There was power. You shall receive power to do just what Yeshua did. The same works I do shall you do also. You can't do that in our westernized world and stay in your mind. It doesn't work. That's why we have to learn how to yield. We have, and what is the closest thing I can describe to yielding moment by moment to the leadership of the Holy Spirit is like you have a four-year-old granddaughter or a child or something, 3-4 years old, little child, and daddy's in the pool or you're in the pool and say, "Come on, honey, jump, I'll catch you." Oh, and little Billy's scared of the water. But he knows mommy, daddy will catch them. So he overcomes his fear and he goes. That's yielding. Now, that's why Yeshua said the first thing you got to do to be able to really, really experience the Christian life is you got to take up your cross. There's a part of you that doesn't want to do that. You know, I did it my way. We will do it Yeshua's way. And he'll never tell you. He likes faith. He likes it when... He likes it when we believe him. He likes it when we step out on nothing but daddy will catch you. And when you end up living your life for other people, moment by moment, you start living out of your spirit. And that's when your life becomes very interesting. And you don't know what you're going to get next. It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get next. And that's how the kingdom of God advances. And this is nothing like what I thought I was going to talk about. But that's the way God is. I said, you can take over anytime. Of course, I've given myself over to praying in the Spirit a lot. So I finally got to where my mind finally quit. Said, stop trying to, it used to try to control, you know, I got to understand. That's a very Greek way of thinking. I got to understand this. No, you have to know him. And God is a spirit. And when he talks to you, he doesn't talk to your mind. He talks to down here. He talks to that part of you that's born again, the holy of holies of your being, your three parts, spirit, soul, and body. And the part of you that really got saved, if you will, on that day when you received your Messiah and you were born again. You have a new nature on the inside of you. You went from sin to righteousness. You went from death to life. You came out of Satan's kingdom into God's kingdom. But most believers have never really developed their spirit, their inner man. And our culture has spent billions of dollars developing our minds. And so we're very smart people. We got big, great big heads and little puny, scrawny little spirits. But where the center, what you are, is a spirit being. You're not a mind and body. You're not just soul and body. Your soul is your personality, and you have a soul. So one man said it this way: I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. This body is my earth suit, if you will, right? So if you, how do we grow spiritually? How do we get to the place where we're no longer living in a religious world life? Now, you may feel safe there, but you're not going to you may feel safe there, but you're not going to experience a very exciting supernatural life there. You might be safe, but you also, God likes it when we take risks. And almost always when the Holy Spirit will speak to me, it's not about me. It's about somebody else. Call Sister Susie. and tell her I love her. She's discouraged this morning. Now, what you do with that, little leading, what you do with that every day, if you obey that, do you know how important that is? Those little obediences, every time you yield to that and you say, okay, I'm going to go do that, I'm going to call Sister Susie or bake a pie for, he likes apple pie, bake him a pie. Okay, or you have two pies, and or you're preserving your fruit in the old days, and you're canning your vegetables, and he says, you see those five cans of peaches right there? I want you to go down and give them to the poor, or whatever. You know, he'll always tell you and lead you to bless someone else, love someone else. See that violinist up there? He really, give him a nice Swiss bank account with at least $1 billion. No, I was joking. No, he'll always tell you to bless someone else. And it's amazing. I have met denominational Christians. They're not, quote, spirit-filled in the sense of, you know, they don't see a manifestation of tongues or gifts of the Spirit. But they do that one thing. They listen. They've got their antenna up to try to help people. And they're always out doing something, loving people. We only have two commands, folks. We have, I didn't grow up in church, so I've learned how to do this. I'm learning. Love God and love people. So I divided my day in two. I spend half of my day doing my best I can, doing the best I can to love God, worship Him, practice, preach, whatever God has. Pray, I meant. And then I go out from that place and I do my best to love people and not judge them. Boy, that's hard. That's the cross. That's our cross. We have to love difficult people. That's really hard. Boy, this is different. See, this is what I'm doing right now is why I don't have, you know, Columbia Artist Management in New York banging my door down, please sign here, I don't think I've played at the Grand Opry I have played at Carnegie Hall, but you know what? I mean, that used to be what I wanted, but God got it in me and He began to change me, and this book has to get inside of you. Now, what I'm doing right now actually is exhorting you. We don't even know what an exhortation is, most of the church. That's through the Holy Spirit, He will stir you up to do what you already know. Many of you know many things, but until you do what you know, it's dead. That's what it means. Faith without works is dead. It doesn't mean, you know, it has nothing to do with salvation. The book of James talks about, he's not talking about getting saved there. He's talking about corresponding actions to what you believe. You have to believe and you have to do. And the Hebrew way of knowing, when you know something, is when you do it. When you do it. The Greek way of knowing is 2 + 2 = 4. And I know I'm going to learn about the molecule here, and this is the peptide, and this is and you learn that way. But when God teaches us, He teaches us with the purpose of transformation. And so I get back to that. How do we really change? Help God. So I had this amazing gift of desperation. It drove me into God deep, and I didn't have any other priority. I had to do it. So the first thing, you've got to spend a lot of time in this book. And you have to spend a lot of time with God. And you have to get to know your teacher, the Holy Spirit. And you have to start doing what he asks you to do. And when you do, your life will, you will change. Fundamentally, you will begin to transform. And it says, well, all right, I obviously, okay, you took over. You have that right, Lord. But if you read here, and there's a scripture that talks about change. It's 1 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Last verse, verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Notice it's by the Spirit of the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. How did Yeshua do all his miracles? He didn't do one miracle because he was the Messiah. Now, he did every single miracle he did as a man, Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. There were no miracles until at least recorded, that, and I don't believe there were, until he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Power to, and what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. In case you wonder where oppression comes from, it doesn't come from God. And oppression includes everything that isn't like heaven in your life. You're living in a war zone. There's a lot of oppression. There's sickness, disease, evil, the sin and death and depression and all of those things. That doesn't come from God. But we live in a world that is at war right now. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to let that greater one out. And we have to get him onto our life. And the anointing breaks the yoke. And the teaching of the word is very important because it has transforming power, but only as it is anointed by the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. We need the word and the spirit. So most of us live in a religious system of some form, and the enemy has sealed our lives under that system. And what Christian religion is, and all of us are faced with that a lot, in what it is it's an accommodation for somebody. This is as far as I want to go. I'll give you this much, God, and no more. And the vast majority of believers are not hundredfold fruit-bearing. In fact, according to Mark chapter 4, well, there's a teaching anointing here. This came Mark chapter 4, we see if you break that down of the parable of the sower, he shows the actual fruit of the transforming power of the Word of God in the human heart. The sower sows the Word. So God is constantly sending you his transform transforming word. He is. He's reaching out to you. And if you look at the percentage, 75% of those who hear, the enemy steals it and they bear no fruit at all. Whether it's for salvation, see, we're so quick to, oh, that's talking about being saved. Well, it's talking about the operation of the kingdom of God. For this book is a giant bag of seeds. It's a huge bag of heaven seeds. There are promises in here. These promises have to be planted in your spirit, and then you have to guard it long enough so that you don't have spiritual abortions. You know what? When a prayer isn't answered, when a promise isn't manifested, it's because it was stolen out of you before it came to full term. This is the battle that we really face. Can we hold on to God's word and guard that little seed until it becomes a great big tree? And so I'm a real fanatic about God's word. Fanatic. I mean, because of that first motivator, motivation. So, I'm sorry, motivator, desperation. So time with God makes a big difference. And in the word and prayer, time with God. But in this scripture, it says that he changes me and you. And we are destined to become just like Jesus. And he changes us by looking at him. You want to change? Look at Jesus. You want to change? Keep looking at Jesus. And we reflect, just like the moon reflects the sun, we begin to reflect the glory of our Master. See, some of those old Catholics actually got into some of this, you know, the saints and all that. And you know what happened? They started having miracles and power, and they started learning how to let Jesus out into their world with transforming power. So he changes us from glory to glory as we look at him. And in the Greek, this breaks down to there. Beholding him. Beholding is actually a very good Old English Elizabethan word, but beholding is more than just looking. It's behold the Lamb of God. Comprehend. Look at him. How wonderful he is. And we look at him with eyes, this is the Greek here, if you break it down in the Greek, with unveiled eyes in worship. That's why Satan attacks music and anything to do. See, music is a heart, it's like a main line of heaven to main line to hell. It just goes right into the heart. And of course, Lucifer, before he fell, was the greatest musician. He was the most beautiful, and music was built into his being as an archangel. He knows how to seduce with music. Music is a very powerful medium, and it can easily be polluted. But if there's a counterfeit, there has to be a genuine somewhere, right? And I'm here to tell you, God always has the real deal. He always does. But you got to look for it in this culture. It's like the days of Samuel. It says the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and the lamp had grown dim in the house of God. Dim, 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 dim. And you got to really look for that pure stream. Because if you'll get in that glory and look, that's how God changes you. So we go through tremendous battles so that we can break through. I have to break through for you. So when I get up and speak or I'm talking to somebody, there should, everyone that comes in contact with you, if you're full of the Spirit and you're full of God's love, then it will transform the person. You know, some people say, well, he's, you know, really talented. He can, I saw on that fiddle. Mm-hmm. No, I play. I mean, I practice. That's part of what I'm supposed to do. But it's, you know, no matter how beautiful the golden goblet is, it's the wine that's in it. If the wine's good, you can serve it in a Dixie cup. If the wine's good, you know, there's a big difference between good wine and bad wine. We have to get off of junk food, especially spiritually. And you need to get to the place where, so I'm getting to the other, so transformation, how does change come? By spending time with God, getting desperate. That was the first gift God gave me in disguise, was desperation. I had to have God help. Help me. Sometimes I would, I learned one thing. I learned back in about 1987, 86, 87, that if I wanted to have a good day that day, I had to get God's word in my mouth. I had to speak it. So I would get the book of Psalms and start reading it and reading it and reading it hour after hour out loud until the oppression broke. And once you get the devil's, ow, once you get the devil off of you and all that oppression, then God comes. You have to learn how to break through in the Spirit. And some of the old saints, you know, they call them old time, that we were talking, you know, old time Methodists or old time, you know, the, you know, great grandparents, Pentecostals that founded this, you know, frontier wilderness, and they were tough and they pray through. And some of them would get out in the woods and shout, you know, shouting Methodists like your mother was, brother, or others, you know, God began to show me, he said, we're living in a very low, low place spiritually in our generation. We think we have everything, but it's just like the Laodicean church. We don't know. We're deceived. We think we know we have it. The confession of the Laodicea church, I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. That's the confession of, now notice there's, I'm not going to go too much longer. I know. Notice that there were, I have to go to the donkey stops, that's all. Then I'll stop, I promise. Notice there's three pronouns in that. I. Me, myself, and I, the unholy trinity. It's all about me and how much I have and how great I am. It's a very selfish generation. We live, one time the Lord said, we live in the most, the least reverent, most covetous generation in the entire church age. That's why God has such mercy on us. But we're also living in the grand finale. I mean, God is, you know, God wins. You know, he's going to win. Not only, that's what I love about God. The most. He always wins. And he's going to win in you. That good work he has begun, he will also finish. Oh, the Lord just said to me, this message came because of your hunger. You're saying, I want to hear from you, Lord. I'm telling you, blessed are they that hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. That's the second great gift God gave me in disguise. Doesn't seem like a gift, desperation. It sounds like, oh, you have problems. Well, I had to have God. And you know what? I would have just been a really good violinist and, you know, toured the world and, you know, played with symphonies. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But because the devil wanted to tear my mind apart and my heart, he created a monster, as far as he's concerned. I learned one thing as a child. I can practice something until I get it. I'm a practicing Jew. Not Judaism much, but the Word of God. I love Psalm 119. I love His Word. His Word, His Word, His Word. Woo! It's my victory. It's my life. It's my food. It lets me live above the pain of this present darkness, this earth. It's very painful. Where we were never, God never intended for us to live in the world the way it is. I'm going to talk to Adam when I get up there. He caused a lot of problems. All right. So, but the second gift God gave me was hunger and thirst. If you want to ask God for blessings, you talk about, ask God to make you desperate for Him and His, and then make you starving, hungry and thirsty. Hungry, I am going to come down here because I want to see the whites of your eyes. I want to see you. I love you. You're all sitting in the back of the church. No, not all of you. But you're out there, right? I love you. I'm really not here to get something from you. I'm here to give you something. I love you. Hallelujah. Good man. Faithful. Lord, I thank you for healing. I thank you for, we just command that cancer into remission. You're trespassing. You cannot stay in His body. Thank you, Lord. We break every curse that has brought that evil of cancer. Leukemia, I command you to be removed from His body, and I speak to you in your blood to live. Live. You will live and not die. And you will declare the works of the Lord. You're not done yet. And you made a stand. You said you were walking and exercising, but you were somewhere, and I see. I think you might have been in on that. And you made a stand before God. Said, I'm going forward, and I'm going to live. And you know what? That's when it began to turn, and this thing will go completely out of your body. And we're not going to allow it to stay because we have authority in Yeshua's name. We have authority over that devil. That's what it is. It's a devil. We're not going to let it kill you. Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that ye may have life and that more abundantly. The life of God in you will drive out that darkness. I didn't know when I was going to pray for you, but I think you've been prayed for just now. Hallelujah. We agree. There's another wonderful thing, agreement.
Yes, I agree.
Hallelujah. If I can stand here and do what I'm doing,
yes,
then you can crush Satan's cancer under your... And we're going to... I hate that. I hate cancer. I hate it. I hate disease and sickness. Why? Because it didn't come from God. It hadn't been sent to teach you anything. Only thing it's been sent to do is steal, kill, and destroy you. Sickness doesn't bring out the best in people. It brings out the worst in people. I hate it. That doesn't mean that we hate the person or we blame them. No. Satan is a tyrant of spiritual law. You have to drive him out. And the only way to drive him out is the Jesus in you has to be greater. The law of the Spirit of life in the Messiah, Yeshua, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you can say that out of your head till the cows come home. And you should, until it finally, the coin drops down into your heart and you start believing it. When you start believing down here, that's when the mountain moves. You speak to the mountain, it'll move. But you have to believe in your heart. Yes, sir. The relative, the one that you've been praying for, God says, I'm bringing them in the next 18 months to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's a child or it's somebody that you have been crying out for. Now, that's called a word of knowledge. I can't make that happen, but when it happens, miracles happen every time. We need the gifts of the Spirit because they are weapons of the church. We need the fruit of the Spirit or you'll offend everybody. But sometimes you offend everybody even if you have all the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody's getting offended at everything. You know, I mean, these people, I mean, we ought to put them back in time 100 years and just make them live for 3 days without air conditioning. See what they do. Never mind. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. But, well, maybe it was. I don't know. The second gift, ask God for. Make you hungry and thirsty. Water! I need the water of life. I've got to have you. Those two things, desperation and hunger and thirst, will bring you to a place of transformation. And transformation comes through time with God in the Word and prayer and worship. When you do that, you will break through. When you break through, you will change your world. Because one of the greatest compliments anyone gave me was, he said, I think it was on a Huckabee tour, the very first one. It was that wonderful, he was a former senator, taught on the finances. Bob McEwen, a beautiful man. Man of God, but also an influence in the government, you know. But he said, when I hear you play, when I see you, I don't see you, I see Jesus. That's what you want. I don't want you to see me. I don't have much to give you. I have talent on the violin and I practice, but drink the wine. Drink of heaven. Here's my cup, Lord, we used to sing. Take my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Sing it, choir. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, I lift it up, and make me whole. So, I believe in miracles. I've seen the soul set free. The Lord is touching people right now in the internet. There's someone that has, you've had terrible arthritis in your joints. And a problem in the circulation, God is healing you right now. Someone that has had migraine headaches, I think you're sitting here, I'm not quite sure, but God is delivering you from migraine headaches. Someone that's had a recurring nightmare a spirit of panic and fear would attack you. And then someone else with asthma as well. God is healing you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Depression. Someone's just, they're watching, they're so depressed, or you just feel so defeated. You know what? Do what I did. Get the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, just start reading it out loud, and it says, devil, I'm going to read it to you in case you can't read. You're going to have to listen to it. That's a sword. That's right. That's the only thing he'll listen to as it is written. This book has power. Let me tell you. This book has got to get inside of you. You've got to get it in your mouth. Don't let the Bible out of your mouth. So speak the word of God. Speak it every day. I take the promises of God every morning nearly. It's about an hour usually or more. I have about a 7-8 hour cycle. It goes through each day of the week. I just, I carpet bomb my future with, it is written, greater is he that's in me. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. You know, I may not look like much to you, but I'm something to God. I'm his favorite son. I may not be the only one. And you're El Shaddai. You're my daddy. That makes me El Shaddai Jr. And I'm the healed of the Lord. Did you know that? And I have been made righteous by that blood. You look at that blood, Mr. Devil. You see that blood? That blood testifies you're defeated. And I've already won. I don't care what I'm feeling. Put all the feelings, and I don't care. Feelings are going to change because emotions lie to you. But facts are, it is written. That's how Yeshua drove the devil out, and he never had any place. He has no place in me. Now, my flesh wants to do the same thing your flesh wants to do. There's only one thing to do with flesh, and that's crucify it. You know, you can't, you're going to get a new body. Thank God. This body, we are not fully redeemed yet. Well, we are. We are positionally, legally, but soon and very soon, we're going to see the King and we shall be changed, and the fullness of our redemption comes at that point. Someone said, I thought you were messianic. You sound like a faith teacher. Well, I am. You know what God likes to do? He likes to take the uneducated Peter fisherman and send him to all those smart Jews and confound them. And he likes to take Paul, the scholar of scholars, and send him to the barbarians. The Gentiles, right? That's the old English. Well, before all those Europeans got so fancy, that's what they were doing. They were Visigoths and, you know, eating each other and plundering and Vikings, and they were rough bunch. You know, the Huns. They used to call the Nazis the Huns in World War II. Yeah, these were savage tribes. Look what Jesus did by transforming them through, especially the Reformation. It's the Word of God in you that makes all the difference. Now, your body wants to act like that. Woman! Or whatever. But Jesus is lifted us up out of the dunghill and seated us among princes. And he has made me righteous. He became sin that I may be made a prince with God. I'm a son of God. I'm not the son of God, but I'm in him. And he is the son of God, but I am a son. My number's in there. I'm a born again one. Therefore, I have authority over every devil. Your fight isn't with people. Your fight isn't with your mother-in-law, I don't think. Bless her heart. You know, my fight is not with somebody, the deacon at the church or whatever, no. Your fight is with the powers and authorities of darkness. They hate you, and they're come to try to destroy you, sending, shooting arrows at you all the time. God rescued you out of a devastating relationship, I think, or life, or different things, but you're established, and he's your hope. And when you dance, you bring him great pleasure. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know, the people that God tries to destroy, yes, I have to stop. The people that God really comes after, I'm sorry, when Satan comes after you to try to destroy you, then he runs a big risk, because you just might get a hold of what I'm talking about, and then you become his worst nightmare.
Amen.
Because you, when you become one of those percentage, that 25% that starts bearing fruit, remember Mark 4? The good heart starts bearing fruit, and you begin to bring the kingdom of God to the earth through bearing fruit, yielding yourself to him. Then there's another division. It says 30, some bear 30, 60, and 100-fold. But if you work that out mathematically, it comes to 6 to 8% of, and you'll see this in every church too. Who does the vast majority of the work of the church? About 6 to 8% of the people. Who actually, you know, comes in ministry is the same way. There's a few people that break through. Now, why is that? I don't know. Maybe the Presbyterians know, but I don't know. I just know that I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got to the point, if there's a way for me to win in life, I'm going to take that way, and I don't care how much time or what I have to sacrifice. That book is going to get inside of me.
Amen.
And so hour after hour after hour after hour after day after day after day after day, and I look up and everything's restored in my life. That doesn't mean I have an easy life, but I have an overcoming life. Remember, that's your number one problem.
Yes.
Make your words sweet, because you're going to have to eat them. You're the total of your talking yesterday. This is a voice-activated universe. You will have what you say, ma'am, sir, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's the way God made the universe. And so the enemy is always putting pressure on you to get you to say what you're experiencing or feeling. And he wants you to say it. Just tell your wife what you really think. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Sometimes the hardest thing is just, it says in Proverbs, it says, if you've thought evil, lay your hand on your mouth. Why? Because words give authority to either good or evil. If you make, so hallelujah, make your words sweet, because you're going to have to, they're the seeds of your future. Words. Fill your words with God's life. Just get it inside of you. That book is full of heaven. It's not the words, it's what's inside the words. It's the substance. It's the substance of the Spirit in God's living Word. That's Jesus. And you've got to digest it and get it on your in your spirit until transformation takes place. Transformation takes place when you eat God's Word. You have to eat it. You have to digest it. You have to meditate it. You have to speak it. And you have to get to where that is. That's the images on inside of you. And when the image of God inside of you gets greater than the mountain, then speak to the mountain and blow it into the ocean.
Yeah.
You can do it. I can do a few things through Messiah. No, I can do all things through Messiah, not my strength, through God's Word, through that power, that greater one in me. I can run through troops and leap over walls. Boy, I preached myself happy, and I went a long time today, but I noticed nobody's throwing any tomatoes at me, and you're all still here. God bless you. And you know what? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Your labor and your work is beautiful, and it's not small. Even if you don't compare yourself or think like, oh, I've got to do this or I got to. It's not about success. Has nothing to. I've been to heaven by God's grace. I've seen a place called the Hall of Crowns. I left my body. I went to heaven. It was so wonderful. But what's rewarded? God showed me. What's rewarded is what doesn't think what we would think is important. We live in a celebrity culture. I played at the Carter Fold. That's the last thing those Carters were thinking. They were probably fasting and praying and worshiping and breaking through. And then God just says, you know, I like that bunch. I think I'll just touch it and exalt them. Yeah. Exaltation's no problem. It's if we can handle it. Can you handle God exalting you? Most of us can't. So he'll exalt us because he loves us so much. That's my boy. That's my girl. And God has no problem with exalting you. But can we handle the backlash? Can we handle power and money? Do we have the character steel it takes to give away $1 billion and not have it wreck your life? Very few have that. It's a very, very, or whatever. That doesn't mean you want to have a lot of money. I'm not talking about, I'm saying what God rewards is bake a cake for Sister Susie. That's what he likes. Go give Brother Bob a hug. He's discouraged today. See? And what we think is really insignificant people up there are great kings and queens. I'm going to end with this. I tell you a story. One time I prayed, I said, who in the world prayed for me? My family, I was the only white sheep in my family. You talk about a blown to smithereens. My dad was married 5 times and they were, they believed they were God, humanism. I was taught, art and music. I was, there's been a lot of blessing in the physical and intellect and giftings, but very far from God. Just Jews lost at sea. Jews in space, May the Schwartz be with you. Yeah, lost in space. Danger, danger. Lost Jews in space. We were out there. Somehow God's kept us. Because of his word, because he promised he would. Okay. So, I said, who in the world prayed for me? And the Lord said, don't you remember Nanny Beulah? Am I in with this? Nanny Beulah? Oh, yeah. I had this. See, my parents divorced when I was about 2 1/2. My mom, I looked just like my mom, almost nothing like my dad. But she had a real severe breakdown of some kind, and she couldn't handle it. She just left. And so it was just me and my dad. And so he would work as a lawyer. I know, I'm going to take 5 more minutes. No more? Can I have 5 more minutes?
Yes,
I've kept
yes,
you.
But the Spirit of the Lord is there's liberty. Preach on.
I love you.
I'll look you back.
I'll just look at you. No, I know I've gone a long time today, but I also came a long way, and after all, you know, I know you paid big money to see me, but all right. So, do you remember Nanny Buett? Well, I had this lady who used to take care of, you know, kind of do cleaning and at the house, and she would, I would be in daycare or the Montessori or something, and would come home, and she would be, you know, ironing, and big woman, big, about as big around as she was tall, I mean, and she had about 3 teeth in her head, black Pentecostal lady. We were living in Atlanta in those days, and she had all these bobby pins in the back of her head, and she was trying to make a bun. She was from a holiness whatever in the late, you know, like they have buns, you know, they used to have, and but she didn't have much hair, so she just had all these. So anyway, she, I remember her with an old iron. She's going, she says, Maury, your old daddy don't know God from a hole in the wall. And your mama done up and left you. But Jesus gonna make up the difference. I done got a hold of the horn of the altar. I've been praying for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then she'd say, she says, I done had a vision last night.
Praise the Lord.
I done had a vision last night. Now I'm about 4 years old, something like that. And God supernaturally just brought this the memory back. And she, almost every day, she'd get started, and then she would get worked up more and more and more. But she says, and she says, I done had a vision. You go preach the gospel. You go preach the gospel. Hallelujah. You're going to get multitudes saved. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And she'd start doing this. And I'd get up and dance with her every time. And I, you know, and her head started going, and these pins would go flying in every direction. These old, you know, and then it'd take her like 20 minutes to pick them up. She'd do it every day. Say, I got to pick up these. If you don't tell your daddy now, I done get the Holy Ghost. And I'd have, I don't tell him I had these fists now, because he won't, I need this job. So, and then so she'd end up sitting in my dad's lawyer chair, you know those with the brass rivets or whatever, you know, leather, you know, and sit down. Come here, Maury. And so I'd run and jump in her lap and disappear into that universe of love. And she'd just hold me, and she'd go, I just love that Mahalia. I love that Mahalia. I had no idea what that Mahalia was. It was Mahalia Jackson. She's just scrubbing the floors in Chicago or something, I think she said. But God found her a singer, sounds voice like an angel. Mm-hmm. And she says, swing, swing low, sweet down. Mm-hmm. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho. So I learned from her, Jesus is going to be my mama and Jesus is going to be my daddy. And he's going to make up the difference. And you know what? God has done that.
Yes, he has.
But I felt this blanket of love and peace that came over me at that time for nearly a year. I mean, she'd do this, I mean, I don't remember how many times, but it got to where I just looked forward to it, and it was like a game, you know. She'd start to shout, then dance, and the pins would go flying, and I would get up and dance with her next to the ironing board. She'd do it usually by the fifth shirt. It would be full on, you know. And so the reason I say this is, you know, she's a great queen in heaven.
That's right.
Nobody knew her down here. That's why I love little places and hidden. God likes to hide his glory in the least of these. You've got to ask God to anoint your eyes so you can see Jesus in disguise. He don't come to you in this life in his glory. He come to you disguised in the least of these, my brothers and sisters. If you don't see him, you won't minister to him, and God will treat you on judgment day just like you treated him when he came to you in the least of these. So be careful. You may be entertaining Jesus and angels and you don't even know it. And God loves to do that sort of thing. Everything's that way. Everything's upside down in the kingdom. All right. So anyway, I hope you got something out of that. Yes, I have CDs and I didn't get to them. And so please, they're all good. So take me home with you. And did you get in? I'm going to give these away to somebody. Because oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee.
Oh, I have plenty of faith.
I know it. You have more than anybody else in here. You are helping me. No, it's yours. But I want to make some money. I'm just kidding. You just take that. It's all right. All right, well, and we're going over to play today, and I think I've more music coming up in the meetings. Thank you for coming. And please pray for me. Keep in touch with me. Hallelujah. Just, I love you. If we get straightened out as preachers and ministers, the body's going to grow up. That's what we need. It's our fault. We got to be tough on ourselves and easy on you. Right? Okay. Thank you, Rabbi. Thanks for having me. I got to preaching, didn't I?
Amen.
Nobody can do you like Jesus. Sometimes you just got to walk on with Jesus.
I heard a joke last night, and this is no reflection on any relative, but it was an interpretation of the Bible, and that Peter denied Jesus. Peter denied Jesus because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. I won't tell who told me that joke last night. And as I said, it has nothing to do with anyone in this room. But you know, you find out these things. I used to be a baker, and I owned a bagel shop. And that, you know, in the story of Joseph, there was the baker went to jail, the king's baker, the Pharaoh, and his cupbearer went to jail. And Joseph had a vision, he had a dream, and in the dream he saw that the cupbearer would be restored after 3 days to the palace, and the birds of the sky would, you know, peck at his flesh and eat his, you know, his head would be, I think it would be hung. and the birds would peck at him. You know what I'm saying? And so owning a bagel shop and being a baker, I figured out why the baker was put to death, because bakers come in at 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, and they have the cookie jars there. All the goodies are there for them to take and steal, and nobody's there to watch. Except today we have cameras and we have ways of measuring things, and that they. But back then I have a hunch that the baker got caught stealing from the king's kitchen when nobody else was up. You know, somebody caught him and he got thrown in jail. And you didn't steal from a pharaoh in those days, and so he got put to death. But I don't know what the cupbearer did, but he was restored. But I had about 10, 12 or 13 bakers in my time in 14 years of the Manna Bagel Company, and about 7 or 8 of them stole from me. And I caught them stealing from our business, and So I realized something, that when they're left, people are left alone, and there's stuff around that's, you know, coffee beans, Pepsis, food, cookies, whatever, food in the refrigerator, you know, cheeses, meats, turkey. I'm trying to make you hungry. And people would take those things, and then I'd hear about it, you know. So we learn all kinds of things about the Bible, you know, through experience. Amen. But thank you for the word and the word of faith. Thank you for the word of faith. That's what it was today, a word of faith, and a challenge to go deeper. From Maurice, to go deeper with God, to go into the water, deeper into the water with the Lord, deeper. And that's what I was trying to say before, is that, you know, God is calling us to a deeper place. He's calling us out of our box, our religious boxes that we have, and so many people in the world and you know, in churches. And I had somebody say to me one time, you know, they were bringing someone they thought was a representative of the Jewish people in Israel to this area to represent, you know, to speak for Israel. But this person was a Catholic, you know, and they were passing themselves off as a Jew. And I said, this person's a phony. It's a fraud. And the person, the lady that was having this person said to me, well, I'm just a dumb old Baptist. She said, well, I'm just a dumb old Baptist. In other words, she wasn't going to not have her. She wasn't going to say, oh, Rabbi, I'm going to listen to you. I'm not going to have this lady come speak and twist the minds of the community. I'm just a dumb old Baptist. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You know, and that's our conscience, you know, we don't listen to our conscience. I was going to talk about holiness today, and holiness, I'm not going to get into it now, but holiness comes from within, and it has to do with our conscience. It's not external. It's not on the outside. Holiness isn't that bun with the pins on the top of the head. Holiness isn't that long dress below the knees. Although modesty has a part of holiness, holiness is on the inside. Holiness is your character. Holiness has to do with your conscience, with what God is telling you. When God speaks to you, like you said, hug that person, and God tells you, and you have that's your conscience, the voice of God speaking through in your conscience. And if you either say yes or no, and too many times, you know, God speaks to us and says, "Dude, go hug that person, go tell that person I love them," and we say, you know, that no, I don't want to do it, and we ignore our conscience to the point where we sear it, we burn it, I was listening to a sermon yesterday where a plane crashed
in Spain. It was an Avianca jet years ago, and it was headed in. It was in the mount, heading toward a mountain, and the warning device came on and said, "Pull up, pull up, pull up, pull up." And the Spanish pilot said, "Shut up, gringo." And that voice warning the pilot to pull up was telling the pilot, you know, pull up or you're going to crash. And the pilot said, "Shut up, gringo." And he drove into the mountain and killed everybody. You know, he wanted to commit suicide, obviously, and take everybody with him. So you know, we're living in a time, and I think Maurice is trying to tell us that we're living in a time when, if you don't get deeper with God, if we don't start hearing the voice of God and obeying, and we don't start getting out of our box, then we're going to pay a price. We are going to pay a price. People look at what's going on in the Middle East. People look at what's going on in Europe. There's martyrdom going on all over the world. Christians in China are being martyred and killed. The Church of China is being persecuted. And people here think it can't happen. We are just a heartbeat away. The man in the White House, if he's gone, I honestly don't believe there's going to be another one to follow him that's going to protect your right to hear sermons here or any other church, your right to carry the Bible and read the Bible. I don't think there's anyone who's going to take over in this country unless this country splits up and divides up that's going to allow, it's going to permit it, you know. Things are going to change dramatically in a very few years. And I believe we have just a few years. Just a few years. So it's time to start, you know, building that relationship and listening to that voice and believe and walking by faith and getting out of the religious box. Oh my God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay, let's all stand up. I want to bless you. And now, if you'd like to leave, we took a love offering for Maurice last night, but he preached today. And if you'd like to make an offering, if the Lord leads you, we have some baskets here. Just you can make a check out to Maurice Sklar and bring an offering. It's a blessing to bless the man of God when he brings the word. The Bible says he didn't come asking for money, and he didn't pull out his violin. He could have pulled out his violin and, you know, just to get your, you know, to impress you. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't do that. He came here this morning to obey God and just share the word. Amen. And so I believe we should bless him back. And all right, so you can just do that after. Just come, and if you feel led to bring something, and just put it in the basket there on the side. And let me pray. Heavenly Father, let me bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'ir Adonai panavilecha Bechunecha Yisa Adonai Panavilecha Vayesemnecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and Prince of Peace. And before I let you go, I just want to say there is a concert tomorrow. If you came to hear him play tomorrow at 4 p.m. at First Presbyterian, there'll be Maurice will be doing a concert. He'll be at the, I'm not supposed to advertise, but it's so late. They asked me not to. But, you know, so few people are going to hear this. He's going to be at the Carter Fold tonight during the intermission. And so I've been a good boy. I haven't advertised it until just now.
So if you want to come, a bunch of us are going to the Carter Fold tonight. It starts at 7:30. Recommend you get there at 7. There's a great band playing there. Maurice is going to do some songs during the intermission. But also, there's flyers. Come to the concert tomorrow. If you came to hear him play and didn't expect a sermon and you want to hear him play, come to First Pres tomorrow, 4 p.m. He'll be there. He'll be there at 11 a.m. for the service. He'll be doing a couple songs there, too. God bless you all. Shabbat shalom. And he has CDs in the back if you want to get some.